25 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. We're going through our trade deadline preview show. Marty B. Ron of TSN is going to join us momentarily. We look like Chris has given us the thumbs up, so let's go to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Pleased to welcome back to the program our very good friend, Marty B. Ron. Marty is a TSN hockey analyst. He's going to be part of the panel this coming Wednesday as the all-day festivities that are known as the NHL trade deadline get underway. Marty, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well, Marty. Before we get into the players that are going to be moved at the trade deadline and the players that have been moved so far, what do you have in store for Jen Hedger this year?
I am running away. I am seriously trying to hide. I am, you saw the promo she shot.
Yeah.
She's doing samurai ninja tricks type of thing. I'm worried I might have to revert to my Jedi tricks or something like that. But I'm pretty scared about what they have in store for me on Wednesday. Because who knows? You know what? Like, if there's no trades and we don't have anything to talk about, they're going to want to absolutely take everything that I did back, right? So I'm a little scared.
Yeah, instead of, you know, last year it was the T-shirt launcher. This year it should be a hot dog launcher. That'll hit her where she doesn't expect it.
Yeah, like in Philadelphia, they have the Philly cheesesteak launchers and all that. But and again, like for me, yes, last year it was a full-out accident. It was Dame decided to crank up the pounds per the pressure on the T-shirt gun, and when I shot it, I had no idea that was going to happen. I was just kind of playing along. So luckily, everybody was safe and sound, and nobody was hurt. But this year, I feel like the build-up to it, they absolutely wanted to get me back. And it's not just Jen. I feel like the whole panel is going against me. So it should be fun, but I may run out of the studio at some point.
Okay, Marty, we'll get into the players themselves. They're the ones who are likely to be traded this coming Wednesday or before that. You know, with the expansion draft and that sort of hanging over all 30 teams' heads, are you expecting it to be an especially busy trade deadline, or do you think that expansion draft is going to maybe put a damper on teams from doing anything bigger aside from maybe shipping out some rentals?
I think we're going to see the rental market because there's so many teams that are not sure, and now from now until Wednesday it could change, but there's still teams that are on the bubble, teams that would like to make a final push to try to get in the playoffs, you know, especially in the East. It's so congested, it's so tight with the Florida Panthers, the New York Islanders, the Sabres, you know, you put all these teams in there alongside with the Flyers, and it gets very complicated, but I still believe that most of those teams should stick to their plan. You don't become a buyer if you're on the outside looking in right now and going after a rental. You may be able to make a hockey trade. And when I say hockey trade, I mean something that is good. You're in need of a defense and you have a little bit of a surplus forward. You trade a good forward for a good defenseman. The money matches. It becomes a hockey trade, the Taylor Hall, Adam Larson hockey trade type thing. You may see some of that, but I'm really expecting it to be more of a quiet day. I don't know if it's so much the expansion draft that is affecting this, or just the plain old fact that the cap has been steadily staying the same. I don't think it's going to go up much next year, if at all. So now you're talking about, you know, you have to manage your expectation, you have to manage your salary cap, you have to manage your players. So most general managers are trying to be conservative, and by being conservative, those trades that we love so much and we can definitely declare a winner and a loser, they don't happen. So usually it's kind of trading four quarters for a dollar type of situation, and it makes it for a day where we want to see something happen. And sometimes it doesn't come to fruition.
You know, Marty, speaking of the Eastern Conference teams and the expansion draft, Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be a subject of conversation over the next 3 days with the expansion draft coming up and with Matt Murray being kind of the young goaltender of the future. And Jim Rutherford obviously has a tough decision to make. Can the Penguins afford to lose Marc-Andre Fleury, considering that if something happens to Matt Murray, they're not going to have a guy that's got two Stanley Cups under his belt?
Again, I am going to be sitting there Wednesday hoping that a Ben Bishop or a Marc-Andre Fleury or a Ryan Miller maybe gets traded so that I can use my goaltender's expertise to talk about it. But if I was Jim Rutherford, I wouldn't trade Marc-Andre Fleury. There's no reason for it. You have a team that could go all the way again and maybe go in back-to-back Stanley Cups. You have the perfect scenario. And now at the end of the season and when the expansion draft will be coming up and you can make trades before that, I think that's the time where you now have to look at possibly moving Marc-Andre Fleury to make sure that that you have the perfect scenario in Pittsburgh. But right now I wouldn't do it. Ben Bishop is the same thing. The only difference with Tampa Bay and Ben Bishop is I don't think that Tampa has the final push to get into the playoffs. So maybe you can look ahead with the Tampa Bay Lightning and say, okay, well, if there's a team that's willing to take Ben Bishop right now and we can make a trade, let's do it. But it's a completely different situation. Pittsburgh, why rolling the dice? If something happens to Matt Murray, and you know how he's been injured and he's had to deal with a concussion and things like that, no, you need a really good insurance policy, and that insurance policy right now in Marc-Andre Fleury is really good. Now, does it affect the locker room? Does it affect even Marc-Andre Fleury? Because as good as a guy as you can be in the locker room, and Marc-Andre Fleury is a great guy in the locker room, if you don't get what you want at times, it may be a little bit more difficult. I've been there before, and I got a little grumpy, even though I'm usually a happy-go-lucky type guy. But it's just temporary. After a few days of, you know, saying, oh, I didn't get traded, and what now, whatever, you start looking at the future, and you start looking at the rest of the season and the playoffs, and everything goes back in order. So if I was Pittsburgh, I wouldn't do it.
Marty, there's been some talk about Carey Price's game of late, and while his numbers have been pretty good in the last few games, have you noticed anything different in his game, or do you think it's a bigger concern with the Montreal Canadiens as a whole?
Well, there's a bigger concern with Montreal with their lineup, their lack of talent. They've got four players in the top nine, so almost half the top nine shouldn't be on there. I know they've gotten good production out of Paul Byron, and Andrew Shaw is okay, and Lekkonen is not bad, but and so Danault's played all right. But if you have a top team, if you're the Washington Capitals, if you're the Sidney Crosby, none of those guys are playing regular minutes in your top three lines. They may fill in on the third line, or maybe one or two of those guys would be there. But, you know, you'd have more talent up front. You'd be able to score more goals. I know you have Carey Price, who is possibly one of the best, if not the best, goaltender in the National Hockey League. But not scoring more than one goal is not going to get you to win many games. You may shut the door one time, but you need to get to three. Three is the key number in the National Hockey League. You get the third goal, your chances of win just went right up. So, and the Canadians have not done that. So it makes it difficult. Now, with Carey Price, I think the bye week came in at the right time. He was able to step away from the game. I think that not playing a lot last season and always having to put the mentally and physically always thinking ahead. So, okay, I've got to rehab. I've got to use the summer to get myself back into shape. I've got the World Cup. I've got the regular season. I think that he's been on the on switch for a lot longer than most of the players now, even though he did play last year. I think he was getting tired. He was getting physically tired. He was getting mentally tired. And you were seeing it on the ice. You're seeing his movement not as sharp. You're seeing his reads not as good as the way they used to be. So, and now coming back, I mean, we saw the game he played against the Jets right after the break. Although the Jets beat the Canadians, it was a better Carey Price. He made the big save, two huge glove saves on Patrick Laine, and those are what you expect out of Carey Price. So I think he's playing better. But there's so many problems in Montreal right now that the last thing they have to worry about is what's going on with Carey Price.
Marty Biron is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You know Marty, of course, as a member of the TSN Hockey Panel. He's going to be a part of the trade deadline coverage this coming Wednesday. Marty, of all the playoff teams that might be interested in acquiring Kevin Shattenkirk, or realistically in the market for Kevin Shattenkirk, which one do you think benefits most from his arrival?
Oh, well, I wouldn't think a Western team is going to be going in on Shattenkirk. Or if I'm the St. Louis Blues, and I'm, you know, I definitely don't want to trade him to a team where I could play against them in the playoffs. So I would stay away from that. When I look out east, you know, the West is pretty, not the West, the Metropolitan is pretty stacked. You know, the Penguins, although they've got injuries now in defense, are pretty stacked. I don't know that they can really fit a guy like Shattenkirk in their lineup. Washington's pretty good. The Rangers are pretty good. So I'm looking more at the Atlantic Division. I'm looking at possibly a Toronto that needs a player like Shattenkirk in their lineup. I think Morgan Riley's done really well, but he's not that power play specialist. He's not that offense-producing type of defenseman that that you'd expect. So I know Darren Dreger has mentioned Toronto is in on Shattenkirk, but when I look at the makeup of the league right now, I've taken the Western team out of that sweepstake. I don't think St. Louis would want to do that. And so it leaves me with just a handful of teams. I think that's why right now, you know, St. Louis is asking for a lot for Kevin Shattenkirk, but the teams are not going to go out there and give a first-round pick, a top prospect, and a potential other piece to that, because it's going to be a rental situation again. And if there's only two or three teams that are asking and calling about Shattenkirk, then why would you want to spend all that to acquire a player? The price is not going to be that high. There's no need for that. So I think it's going to be maybe a last-minute deal for Kevin Shattenkirk, because St. Louis is going to wait until the last minute to get as much as they can for him.
You know, Marty, we were talking about some of the goaltenders that might move prior to the deadline. We talked about Ryan Miller and Ben Bishop. Marc-Andre Fleury is obviously probably the biggest name considering his resume. But as a former goaltender yourself who has 500-plus games of NHL experience, what's the hardest thing for a goaltender who's switching a team? One day you're playing for the team that you've been on the last few years, and now you're playing on a completely different team. What is it that makes it so challenging for a goaltender? Is it maybe the system that the team plays, or is it reading off of the defenseman? What did you find in your experience as an NHL goaltender?
Well, when I got traded to Philly, I didn't really feel like it was that big of a difference with systems and adjusting to your defenseman, yes. For a goalie that likes to play the puck, to know the exchanges and to have clean exchanges, that's a big difference. If knowing which player or which defenseman likes to block shots, likes to get in front of the goalie, that needs to become instinct as opposed to always having to think and reacting late. So those things affect your game, absolutely. But I think most importantly, when you trade for a goalie, usually that's because you have problems in net. That's just because you you may even have problems as a team. You're giving up too many scoring chances, and goalies that you have don't look as good as you would want to. But now I look at the goalie market, and you mentioned Fleury, and you mentioned Bishop, and you mentioned Miller. Probably the most rental of them all would be Ryan Miller because of an expiring contract. And then I said, okay, well, what teams really need a goaltender? And all the teams that are in a playoff spot or are up, you know, fighting for a playoff spot, I've got their goalies. Ottawa was one team that maybe could look for a goalie, but now Craig Anderson is back and is playing well. And now you say, okay, with Anderson and Condon, they're really good. L.A. is supposed to get Jonathan Quick back. Now, if L.A. is not 100% sure if Quick will be healthy and maybe ready to give a last-month push to be able to get in the playoffs, they may look at a Ryan Miller to help Peter Budaj in L.A. and help get them to the playoffs. But other than that, there's not really a lot of space for goaltenders. And you still have a guy like Yaroslav Halak, who's in the minors right now, that maybe could help a team. Maybe it'd be a cheap trade. Maybe it would be just a conditional pick for a guy like Halak. So For me, the goalie market is very stale right now, and it doesn't look like there would be a lot of moves. Maybe secondary moves, maybe some depth move, maybe adding a backup caliber goalie as a third goalie just to make sure that you're not caught with your pants down in the playoffs. But I think that's about it. I don't see a lot of big names moving at the deadline.
Marty, one team that doesn't seem to get a lot of respect or a lot of mention is the Minnesota Wild. And, you know, they've been tearing it up in the Western Conference. But, again, they don't seem to merit a lot of conversation. How are the Minnesota Wild seen by folks out east?
They're a really good team, let me tell you. If you watch them, they're a really good team. Now, out east, yeah, you're right. We don't talk about the Wild. They don't have the flashy superstar. They don't have, you know, look at, you'll talk about the LA Kings, you'll talk about Kopitar and Carter. Even though Kopitar's not having a great season, and nobody in the Kings are having a great season, but you'll still talk about them. They have that star power. You'll talk about Paul McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. You know, you'll talk about many teams. You'll even talk about the Dallas Stars because of Bannon, Sagan, and all of that. But Minnesota, you know, talking about Parise, he's an honest, hardworking guy. Bombenville, honest, hardworking guy. Eric Staal, you know, great season this year. Honest, hardworking guy. All those guys, they're just quality players that you would want on your team. Why? Because they get the work done, and that's what you want. Their biggest star, their biggest name for me is Devin Dubnyk. But again, not a flashy Henrik Lundqvist type goalie. He's not a Braden Holtby type goalie. He's Devin Dubnyk. He's good. He's steady. He's putting up the numbers. But he's, again, just not an outgoing type of personality. He just does his job. And the Minnesota Wild have a ton of those type of players. You listen to them in interviews, they all sound the same. You watch them play, they all stick to the same system. They're a really good team. So, I mean, I don't know if the people out east don't get to see them as often. I watch their highlights. I watch their games. I'm very impressed with that team and what Bruce Boudreau's been doing in Minnesota.
Marty Biron is a TSN hockey analyst. You'll see him Wednesday as part of the TSN trade deadline coverage. Marty, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much, and we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. Enjoy this trade frenzy or not, depending on what happens.
Yeah. Well, and keep your head up around Hedger. Be safe there, Marty.
Yeah, the paranoia is starting to set in already, as everybody's telling me, so that's good.
Thanks, Marty. Oh, and Marty, congratulations on your new U.S. citizenship as well.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a fun process. Obviously, you know, living in the States was something that I was looking to do, but for me, it didn't really change much, right? I was still living the same life. We've been here for 20 years, but there was a lot of people in that room that it was a life-changing moment, and it was a fun time to be part of that.
Well said, Marty. Take care. Thanks again for doing this.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Marty.
Let's head to break. When we return, we'll talk about the Pacific Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Our trade deadline preview show continues on TSN 1290.
Played by Verbata to the left point, shot by Goligoski. Stay down. Reba, they score! The Coyotes just 33 seconds into the third period. Punch home a rebound, and they lead it. Or the San Jose lead, rather, has been trimmed to 3-1 as the Coyotes are on the board.
Marty Hanzel's going to get credit for this one.
Marty Hanzel, currently of the Arizona Coyotes. The expectation is that come Wednesday at 2 o'clock, he'll be a member of a different franchise. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, trade deadline preview show. This segment is brought to you by Keener Jerseys. Keener Jerseys is known as one of the world's best jersey customizers. If you want awesome jerseys for your rec team or have a jersey you want personalized, visit Keener Jerseys online at keenerjerseys.com. Check out their new showroom, 982 Portage Avenue. That's the corner of Portage and Sherburn. Tell them that Illegal Curve sent you. probably going to be a busy time for Keener jerseys. Going to have to get all these new jerseys with all these players trading teams. Going to have to get a whole bunch of new jerseys made up to for people to follow their favorite player as they move from team to team.
Yeah, I don't know how popular Marty Hansel is, but certainly there's going to be
others.
Yeah, there's going to be some. Maybe there's going to be some Shattenkirk jerseys.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, yeah, I'm not sure that there's a huge Marty Hansel following. So let's talk about Marty Hansel, because the Arizona Coyotes, as we go to the Pacific Division, clearly are a seller come this trade deadline.
You think?
Marty Hansel and Radim Verbata are the two biggest names that I think people would expect to see leave.
Radim Verbata's having a great year.
Great year. That we would expect to see leave the Coyotes franchise. Michael Stone already left earlier this week, going to Calgary for a third-round pick and a conditional fifth-round pick in 2018.
Dennis Weidman's now a healthy scratch.
Yeah, so he's also on the block in Calgary as Dennis Weidman. So let's start with Hansel and Verbata. I mean, Hansel has been linked to the Montreal Canadiens for, I'd say 4 months at this point in time.
I was going to say 4 years.
Okay, that too. Hansel is a giant. He's 6'6". And we all know that the Canadiens are not big and are lacking in talent, as Marty Biron alluded to in that interview that
we just
aired.
Start calling Marty Hansel the Big Show.
Nah, probably not.
Because he used to be called the Giant at WCW.
Marty Hansel did?
No, the
Big Show.
I know. I was just trying to get him flustered. Why don't we just talk about...
It's okay, Drew. You're not a member of the Wolf Pack anyways.
Do you see Marty Hansel going to the Montreal Canadiens? Is that the best fit for him? And if so, why hasn't it happened yet?
I thought Marty Hansel already was a member of the Montreal Canadiens. To be honest with you, how much it's been talked about. But, it could be a fit. And, you know, when you're talking about the Montreal Canadiens, Drew, what do they need the most, right? They need offense.
Yeah.
And Marty Hansel's not a guy, you know, that has put up 30 goals in the NHL. He's more of a 40, 45-point guy, right? Mm-hmm. And he's more of a two-way forward. But he's got the size, as you mentioned, something that Montreal, you know, addressed in the offseason with getting Shea Weber back on defense and getting a guy like Andrew Shaw. Even though he's not the tallest guy, he's a scrappy player, right? So, sure, Marty Hansel could be a fit on Montreal. I guess it depends on the asking price. Just like Kevin Shattenkirk and just like, you know, guys like Matt Duchene and Gabriel Landeskog. The Montreal Canadiens got shut out yesterday by the New York Islanders. And they still, even with the coaching change, they just can't score goals. Max Pacioretty and Alex Radulov have got the majority of the goals for the Montreal Canadiens. And guys like Brendan Gallagher and Alex Galchenyuk continue to struggle. And then some of the depth scoring that you were getting from guys like Paul Byron has dried up a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they need to get goals. So for me, Radim Verbata makes more sense for the Montreal Canadiens.
In that he's a more of a goal scorer than Marty Hansel is.
He's got 20 goals.
Yeah, he does. I mean, or he's got 44 points on the season, rather, but he's got 20 goals in his career. He's got 14 goals this season.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, your
point... Sorry, I meant to say he's on pace for...
He's on pace
20,
for 20 goals. Yeah, you're absolutely right that Verbata would be a good fit there in Montreal. It'll be interesting, though. The Coyotes definitely have the for sale sign up as...
San Jose's another team that Hansel's been linked to.
Well, I mean, he's got a lot of familiarity being on the... He spent most of his career there in Arizona, so keep him in the Western Conference. I mean, if you're the Coyotes, you don't really care where you trade him to. It's not that you're going to be facing them in the playoffs or
you
something.
You have to think that John Chayka, though, is excited because, you know, as one of the few teams that are known as a seller, you really do have a little more leverage than if it was a number of teams that were also in selling mode. So you have to think that he's going to be trading the pieces. I mean, to me, the most interesting one, not from a... what the impact he could have on the team he goes to is whether they trade Shane Doan, simply because he's the longtime captain. You know, he's been wrestling with the decision as to whether he wants to remain with the franchise or, you know, kind of seek out that last ditch opportunity to go for the Stanley Cup. So player like Shane Doan, will he be moved? That to me is an interesting one for that team, at least.
I don't think he'll be moved at this point. I mean,
well, as Dave said, though, Drew, I mean,
it's up to him, I guess.
To Shane Doan. And I think it would be awesome if Shane Doan ended his career with one franchise, because how many times do you see that anymore?
You don't.
Right? You just don't see it very often.
Mm-hmm.
So with Shane Doan, I mean, this is a guy that he's the greatest Coyote of all time. Everybody knows that. So if it is a situation where he wants to be traded, it's going to be a handful of teams, right?
Right. Yeah. Imagine
Pittsburgh, Washington.
Yeah.
I don't think he would go east, though. I think he would stay in the West. Anaheim or San Jose.
But it's a rental, right, Drew?
I know it's a rental.
It's not like he's going to have to move his family here.
I know, but he'll call his shot, and I don't think he wants to go from the Western Conference after 20 years to the East.
Okay, then Chicago or Minnesota. I mean, it's going to be a team. Well, is he going to get traded to the Jets?
No, but Anaheim or San Jose, I think, are also likely.
Well, sure, but I'm saying like Chicago and Minnesota are top teams in the West. So sure, throw in San Jose in there.
Yeah,
and Anaheim.
Yeah.
He's not going to get traded to a team like Toronto who might make the playoffs.
No, of course not. Right? He would never agree to that kind of trade. We'll come back. We'll continue with our look at the Pacific Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Latang shovels it out to Wilson, intercepting his banner. On the attack over the line, moves in, has an opening, he scores! A wrist shot by Thomas Vanek. Two quick ones here in the third, Detroit out in front 4-1.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN 1290. It's brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Tonight at Rumors, you saw him Wednesday night on stage with Jimmy Fallon. He was on The Tonight Show on Wednesday. He's at Rumors tonight. Josh Johnson in town. Two shows, 7:15, 10 p.m. Tickets available, rumorscomedyclub.com. And, of course, remember, next weekend, Jay Farrow of Saturday Night Live will be at Rumors. They added another show because ticket demand was that heavy. That's a few tickets available for that show. Check them out, rumorscomedyclub.com.
And Rumors also announced that Sean Wayans is coming back.
Sean Wayans is coming back. You're absolutely right. Yep. Ezzie, good reminder. Tickets for Sean Wayans go on sale Monday, I believe. Monday at 2 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. So be sure to get your tickets quickly for Sean Wayans. All the shows sold out tremendously fast last time, so jump on him real quick.
I'd love to do a Q&A with him and just ask him about White Chicks the entire time.
Well, how many times have you seen White Chicks? About 50, 60?
Probably.
Yeah.
Dave, how many Wayans brothers are there?
Four, I think.
Damon. Marlon.
Keenan, yeah. Ivory.
Sean. Keenan Ivory. Is there a fifth?
I think there's four or five.
I thought there was like six or seven.
I don't know. Dave can look that up while we talk about, continue with our look at the Pacific Division. You know, the Pacific Division,
six.
You have six. There you go. Six.
We've read about Damon Wayans Sr., Kim Wayans. There's boys. There's a girl as well, obviously.
Right. Okay. The Sharks.
Remember the movie Blank Man?
If you look at the top of the Pacific Division.
You don't want to talk about Blank Man, Drew?
I don't want to talk about Blank Man, no.
Okay.
If you look at the top of the Pacific Division, you have San Jose, Edmonton, and Anaheim there at top of the Pacific Division.
Yep.
And it's sort of interesting because all three teams are sort of, at least the Sharks and the Ducks, are sort of just in a very solid position. We know the Ducks acquired Patrick Eaves yesterday. Your thoughts on that addition?
I tweeted that out yesterday. I really like that trade. We talked about it a little bit before, but I mean, Patrick Eaves is a guy that's had a lot of success with Dallas this year. He's having a career year playing on the top line, and he's got some playing time with Jamie Benn as well. And when you talk about a guy like Patrick Eaves, it could be a rental, but he's a guy that just gives you more scoring depth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that, you know, guys like Rickard Rakell have had good years for the Ducks, and Getzlaff and Perry have actually had down years. You know, you'd expect them to have more points, but it's still a very good team, a team that I wouldn't want to play in the playoffs. And you know, you look at some of the young players they have on defense. You know, we talked about, you know, a guy like Shea Theodore. Josh Manson's having a good year for the Ducks, but that defense is really good. So maybe they're not done. Maybe they move a young defenseman because they're in win-now mode, right?
Sure.
So I think Randy Carlyle's done a very underrated job with that Ducks team.
Nobody's talking about the Ducks at all.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's like you said, though, Drew, because every year the Ducks are either leading the Pacific Division, yeah, or they're second in the Pacific Division. Now the balance of power has changed a little bit because San Jose's become, I think, a better team than the Ducks. And that's because, you know, you have other players like Logan Couture and Joe Pavelski who have just continued to get better and better and better. Mm-hmm. And also Getzlaff and Perry, let's be honest. Their best offensive numbers are probably behind them. We're not going to see Corey Perry score, you know, 50 goals again probably. And Ryan Getzlaff is probably not going to be in the 80 or 90-point range anymore. But they're still excellent players.
Yeah.
But more importantly, Ryan Kesler, I think, is the big one. He's having a great year. And they're solid up the middle. Great on defense, and John Gibson's having a great year. So I don't want to play the Ducks if I'm any team in the West.
No, the Sharks, and they were, of course, the defending Western Conference champions. They won. They made it to the Cup final last year, losing to the Penguins. They only have three forwards who are in double digits in goals. You know, that's Pavelski, Couture, and Marleau. Do they need to acquire goal scoring? Is that something that they should be in the market for as Wednesday approaches and the trade deadline approaches? I mean, we know Brent Burns is having a tremendous year. He leads the team in points.
Yep.
But to only have three forwards of your 12 forwards, and sure, there's been injury issues, but to only have three of your 12 forwards in double digits in goals, does that give you a little bit of concern?
Yeah, it does. And I think when you're talking about some of the other Western Conference teams that they're going to be competing with, you know, to get to the Stanley Cup in Chicago, Minnesota, we just talked about Anaheim. They're in that conversation. I think, you know, you can't take St. Louis lightly. So I think, yeah, that's what they're looking for, Drew. I don't think they're in the market for a defenseman. And if they are in the market for a defenseman, it's going to be a depth defenseman. I mean, Paul Martin and Brent Burns have been a great pair together. Mark Edward Vlasic is one of the best defensive defensemen in the game. So I don't necessarily know that they need a top four defenseman. And let's be honest, you can't really acquire top four defensemen at the trade deadline. Kevin Shattenkirk might be the exception to that, but that's because he's a pending UFA. So yeah, I think the Sharks would be looking for depth scoring, Drew. Maybe a guy like Radim Verbata interests them. You know, maybe a guy like Jerome Iginla interests them, a guy you could put on the second power play.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, for Jerome Iginla, San Jose would be a pretty, you know, attractive team to go play for. They're a team that went to the Stanley Cup final, as you mentioned, last year. And I think they could probably go all the way again this year. Very solid, really, from top to bottom. You know, there have been, you know, talks that maybe they would go after a backup goaltender, Aaron Dell. He's done an okay job, but, you know, he doesn't have a lot of experience, so... A guy like Keith Kincaid on New Jersey is a guy that's been rumored. So
if Martin Jones is ever out of the Sharks lineup, they're done.
Sure. So, I mean, you might want to get some depth in goal. That's all I'm saying. So, yeah, sure. I mean, you're acquiring a veteran guy to maybe play on your third or fourth line. And you've had some injuries there. Jonas Donskoy has been injured, so you're hoping that you get him back. Melker Carlson, I believe, is back in the lineup now. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to make any major moves. But scoring would be probably something they want to address.
Los Angeles Kings currently aren't in a playoff spot. John Rosen, LA Kings insider, good friend of this program, reporting that there is a possibility Jonathan Quick is activated off the IR in time for this afternoon's game against the Anaheim Ducks.
Great news.
So it's clear that even if it's not today, it's probably, you know, maybe Monday against the Minnesota Wild, Jonathan Quick is imminently on the verge of returning to the LA Kings lineup. He's been out since, you know, game one of the season with a severe groin injury. Dave, what is the addition of Jonathan Quick back into the Kings lineup mean for them, their playoff chances, and maybe for them going forward as being a dark horse Stanley Cup contender?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question when you're getting a goalie of his caliber back. I mean, he's unbelievably athletic and he can make the big saves for this team. And look, no discredit to Peter Budaj, because Peter Budaj has come in and he's put up shutouts and he's kept the LA Kings in the conversation, because I don't think anybody, when Jonathan Quick went down, gave the LA Kings a hope in hell of being anywhere even close to the playoffs. So the fact that they're still somewhat in the conversation is a shocking fact. But I think when you talk about adding a goalie like Jonathan Quick, someone who's been able to do the things that he's done, and again, it really is like, we talk about it a lot, when you get a player back, it's like a trade. It's like making a trade within your own organization that you don't have to lose an asset for, because essentially he's fresh. I mean, he's coming off the injury, so obviously there's going to be some rust, but he's obviously been worked back to the point where they feel comfortable getting him back into the lineup, and they know they need him back in the lineup. Because, again, no insult to Peter Budaj, but he's not Jonathan Quick. So, I mean, you put Jonathan Quick back into this lineup, and look, these guys have some horses, and they know how to win. And that's the other thing, right? You can't discount that. This is a team that they don't have to guess. They have Stanley Cup experience throughout this lineup still. So, I mean, if this LA Kings team can get on a roll, look, they're 5 points back of Nashville. Now, that's not, and 6 points back of Calgary. I'm not saying that's an insignificant number, obviously.
Yeah.
But
the thing they have going for them is they have two games in hand on the Flames.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and that's what I was just looking at. And they've got some games in hand on the Flames. So then realistically, you win both those games, you're 2 points back, right? And then it's a horse race to the end. And again, you're adding a guy like Jonathan Quick. That's that big intangible. How does he come back? How does he play? How does he look? And I think if he plays like the Jonathan Quick that we've all come to appreciate throughout these years, then that kind of puts LA, again, I'm not 100% saying LA is going to be able to catch Calgary, because I think Calgary's caught fire here, but they're going to give the Flames a run for their money.
You know, caught fire, Flames, I like it. When you're looking at the San Jose Sharks and the LA Kings, I think of a guy like maybe Thomas Vanek.
Of the Detroit Red Wings.
He would look good on either of those teams, because both of these teams have issues with depth scoring, right?
Sure.
And, you know, a guy like Anze Kopitar hasn't put up very good numbers for L.A. You have Jeff Carter, who's really been driving the bus. A guy like Tyler Toffoli hasn't had a great year. So maybe they go after a Thomas Vanek. That is, if they think that they can still get in, as Dave mentioned, right? But yeah. San Jose, I mean, Thomas Vanek, a guy like that, Radim Verbata might be, you know, someone that they look at.
The Oilers are pretty solidly in the playoff picture in the Pacific Division. They're actually tied with the Ducks, each having played the same number of games, certainly within striking distance of the Sharks, although the Sharks have games in hand. If you're the Oilers, are you just happy to be back in the playoffs, or are you actually actively buying at this point in time with the trade deadline on Wednesday?
I honestly don't know, Drew, because I think it's a weird situation. I think if you're the Oilers, you're happy to get into the playoffs. I don't think that they're a contender. And again, Cam Talbot, I think, has had a very nice year in net. But when I look at the Oilers, I mean, you take Connor McDavid off of that roster. I mean, this isn't a very good team, right?
Sure.
So I think that the acquisitions that they made have made them a tougher team to play against and a better team, namely Adam Larson coming over for Taylor Hall from New Jersey, and then obviously Milan Lucic was the big free agent signing. So I don't necessarily know that they're going to go after a big fish. Like, you hear about Jerome Iginla. He's from Edmonton. Maybe they try to bring him in. He's a guy that can play on the third line. Or maybe the Oilers go after a guy like Brian Boyle, who could be your third line center. He's a guy that might not re-sign in Tampa Bay. I don't know. I don't see them being very active. I wouldn't call them a quote-unquote buyer, Drew. But I could see them making some moves just to shore up the bottom two lines and maybe getting a depth defenseman. But I wouldn't expect a major player like Jordan Eberle, for example, to be traded.
Right.
But again, we'll wait and see what happens. But I can't get a good read on the Oilers because they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But when you look at, you know, the powers of in the West, we talked about it, Chicago, San Jose, Minnesota, Anaheim. I still don't think they're up there with those teams.
Last team, the Vancouver Canucks, they're definitely in sell mode, despite they might be on the periphery of the playoff chase. Alex Burrows and Yannick Hansen, two guys that have been rumored to be on the market. Do you see those players fitting in anywhere in particular?
Yeah, and both of those guys have had good years. And, you know, we saw Yannick Hansen burn the Jets earlier in the season when they played in Vancouver. Alex Burrows is an interesting one. You know, wouldn't he fit in nicely with basically any team right now that's in the East, whether that's the Montreal Canadiens or the New York Rangers or the Pittsburgh Penguins? I mean, that's the type of agitator you want come playoff time, right, Drew? So
sure.
It wouldn't be surprised if they're not going to re-sign Burrows, and it doesn't look like they're going to re-sign Burrows because, let's be honest, the Canucks are in rebuild mode.
Yeah, he's got a no-trade clause, so he can pick his own destination.
Right.
But and Yannick Hansen still has a year left after this season, but palatable $2.5 million. He's got a modified no-trade clause.
Right, and again, a very versatile player. We've seen him play with the Sedins on the top line of Vancouver. He's a guy that you can put out there on the penalty kill. He's got a bit of a scoring touch, and he's a feisty player.
And apparently he just submitted an A-team list of teams he would be moved to. So.
Yeah, so wouldn't be surprised if he moves.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see.
Former Manitoba Moose.
That's right. The Vancouver fans have certainly been clamoring for a rebuild. It starts, I guess, to some extent this week in Vancouver as they probably deal Burrows and Hansen. When we come back, we shift our focus to the Eastern Conference. The Atlantic Division and the Metropolitan Division are up. Jonas Siegel joins us at the bottom of the hour for an interview. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, trade deadline preview show on TSN 1290.
Hainsey retreats to the top of the slot, takes a look, gives to Stahl near boards. He's closing it on goal. He circles back, leaves the drop pass. The Falkers going to turn into the corner. Back to Hainsey one time. He scores! Unbelievable!
Hockey-related, Ron Hainsey scoring. Then for the Carolina Hurricanes, now a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins acquired him from the Carolina Hurricanes earlier this week in exchange for a 2017 second-round pick and prospect forward Danny Christo. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're going division by division, team by team, getting you set for Wednesday's NHL trade deadline. Complete trade deadline coverage here on the station, of course, all day long. And NHL this week bookends it, starting at 6 p.m. as we'll recap what will hopefully be a busy day on the NHL trade block.
Ron Hainsey's had 12 NHL seasons and not one playoffs.
Well, that's going to change, yes. He, I believe, is the current active leader in games played with never having qualified for the playoffs. That's clearly going to change this year as he was acquired by the Penguins in that aforementioned deal. I like the trade from Pittsburgh's perspective. You know, Ron Hainsey probably gets a bit of a bad rap here in Winnipeg. Through no fault of his own, he was overpaid and his performance wasn't up to snuff here in Winnipeg. But that's not to say that Ron Hainsey, as a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins defense, especially a defense that is sort of injury-riddled right now without Olli Maatta, without Trevor Daley, without Justin Schultz, I like the addition of Ron Hainsey to the Penguins lineup at a reasonable cost. Your thoughts, guys?
Yeah, no, I like Ron Hainsey. He's, you know, he can move the puck and he's solid. He's a veteran player. And so I don't think that it's a bad move to add depth if you're a team like Pittsburgh, and really, what did it cost you, right? So, I mean, you're looking at this team and you're thinking to yourself, we want to repeat. They're not looking at it like from a long-term perspective. So from their point of view, they add a player that, you know, has a lot of NHL experience, not obviously playoff experience, but NHL experience. And I think he'll be a nice addition.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, the Penguins, and the big question mark is in goal. We talked about it with Marty Biron. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have the expansion draft coming up and you have Marc-Andre Fleury, who's under contract and has the no-move clause, and you have Matt Murray, who was the main goaltender for you when you won the Stanley Cup last year, and you can only protect one, you have a decision to make. And on defense, talking about Ron Hainsey, I mean, when you have some injuries, and Trevor, basically he replaces Trevor Daley, right? And Trevor Daley left the game against the Jets. In the same game that Olli Maatta left the game a couple weeks ago. And, well, that wasn't even a couple weeks ago. That was only about a week and a half ago. But when you're talking about Ron Hainsey, I mean, this is a guy who's never gone to the playoffs before, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a great opportunity for him. He's had a pretty underrated year in Carolina. Carolina as a team, by the way, we're going to talk about them in a bit, I hope. They're still a team that can make the playoffs. I mean, they're a little bit out of it, but
They're 10 points back, Ezzy.
Well,
they're tied with the Red Wings for dead last in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, but hey, you never know.
I know that. That's one thing I know, is that the Carolina Hurricanes are not making the playoffs this year.
The one advantage is they've played less games.
They've got a couple games in hand.
No, three
they've been, to me, they've been very, very surprising.
And they were also flirting with the
earlier, they were flirting, and they've dropped off since then. I think that's – look, the Carolina Hurricanes – it's not going to be this year, but in the next couple of years are going to become a very good hockey team yet again. They have a ton of tremendous young talent, particularly on the back end. And so by, you know, trading away a guy like Ron Hainsey, they get back a younger player in Danny Christo. They get that second round pick. So they're making all the right moves.
They've played the least amount of games in the league. I'm just saying.
Okay. You want to wager?
No, I wouldn't wager.
Okay.
I mean,
there you go.
Let's just leave it at they've had a decent year, and Ron Hainsey has done a decent job for the Carolina Hurricanes. So it's a good acquisition by Pittsburgh. And,
sure,
you know, if they make another move, it'll probably be a similar acquisition. If it's on defense or on forward, it'll be a guy that you want to play on the third or fourth line. But you look at Pittsburgh, and, you know, they have the ability to roll out talented players on the third and fourth line. So I don't know if they make too many other moves.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Marc-Andre Fleury as sort of a big wild card for this coming trade deadline. Jim Rutherford was on NHL TV or the NHL Network earlier, and he talked about, you know, what his conversations have been like with Marc-Andre Fleury, and it's clear, you know, from Rutherford's comments that Marc-Andre Fleury is ready to start playing again. He wants to be back in a regular, you know, goaltending role. Right now he's the backup to Matt Murray. And Rutherford said that a decision on Marc-Andre Fleury and whether or not he will be traded will probably come in the final 48 hours before the trade deadline. So maybe a decision Monday or Tuesday for the Pittsburgh Penguins with regard to Marc-Andre Fleury. I suspect it really depends on the offers they get. They probably aren't inclined to trade him unless somebody blows them away with an offer. But if that doesn't happen, I think they'll probably hold on to him just for the reasons we've talked about, that the Penguins, if Matt Murray goes down, well, then you have a Stanley Cup winning goaltender right behind him.
Yeah, and you know, Connor Sheary's a guy that's missing time here. He's coming back soon. So maybe they were looking at getting a depth forward to replace some of the injured players they have, but Sheary's a guy that's going to be back soon. Brian Rust is another guy, but he's expected back soon. So I don't see them being that active. And look how well they've played this year. And, you know, you acquire Ron Hainsey, so maybe you acquire another defenseman. That depends on the health of some of these other guys that are injured, right?
Right.
Olli Maatta is one of them.
Well, then let's look at the other teams in the Metropolitan Division. The Washington Capitals dipped their toe barely into the trade market last year. They acquired Tom Gilbert earlier, I think it was either this past week or the week before, from the Los Angeles Kings in exchange for a conditional draft pick in 2017, a fifth-round pick. You know, if you're the Capitals or you're the Blue Jackets or you're the Rangers, do you need to go and make a big splash? Is this going to turn into an arms race in the Metropolitan Division? We know it's the most competitive division in the NHL.
I don't think it's an arms race because these teams are already
armed.
Armed. So yeah, honestly, I mean, like the Rangers, you talk about teams that are not being talked about that much. The Rangers have been in the top four, top five in the Eastern Conference the entire year. And if you look at what Columbus has done and what Pittsburgh's done, I mean, if they're in any other division, they're probably even more competitive, right?
Well, last year, the Capitals and general manager Brian McClellan pretty much stood pat at the trade deadline.
I can see them doing that again.
You can see them not even a depth.
No,
I would say
yeah,
a depth defenseman.
Sure, a depth defenseman. Yes, you're right.
Because that was that turned out to be a bit of a bugaboo for them.
Pittsburgh had more depth on defense.
That's right.
So, I mean, sure, if Washington can pick up a depth defenseman, they do that. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to be loading up with, Matt Duchene or, somebody like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe you acquire a depth forward, but for the most part, I would see them standing pat. And just look at how well these teams are playing. I mean, Washington has been one of the hottest teams all year. They're not going to get to 120 points, but they're going to be well above 100 points, probably around 110 points. Mm-hmm. So why do they have to make too many significant moves? And it's, as you said, because if there are injuries, then you have a guy that you can, call from the press box. So, yeah, so maybe they go after a depth defenseman, but I don't think anything big is coming for them.
Yeah, and again, we talked about it. Why would the Rangers make that move for Shattenkirk when they know they can get him for basically for whatever they want? As a UFA.
Sure, but so, you don't have, you can just, well, unless you they think that acquiring Shattenkirk
would put them over
puts
the
them, gives yeah. them another leg up and over the Capitals and the Penguins.
From what I've read, that's not the impression. So, if you're the New York Rangers and you're playing as well as you are, do you make that sort of change now or do you want to do that in the offseason? I mean, again, the teams have finite periods of time with which to win a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Washington Capitals, to me, are the team that could do a minor tweak, though. I'm not in favor of the big splash. I don't think we've seen historically that the big splash really pays off generally. And I think that, it's hard. What do you do? Like, how do you bring in a guy that's going to impact your top six when your top six is playing as well as it is in Washington? And the answer is you don't. You add what you said, Drew. You add a depth defenseman, to give you that opportunity. If a guy goes down, you're not going to be scrambling and trying to fit a, square piece into a round hole. So you say, okay, fine, we can add this guy who's a veteran player, like a Ron Hainsey, like Pittsburgh did.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then says, okay, when they've got all their healthy guys and Ron Hainsey's not playing or, he's your sixth or seventh defenseman, that's fine. Because, he can go in there. He's reliable. He knows what to do. He has the experience. He's not a rookie.
Yeah, and no, sorry to cut you off, Dave, and Matt Niskanen, we should mention he's injured. We don't know how long he's going to be out. I think he's only missed one game, Drew.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm just spitballing here, but, would Washington be interested in a guy like a Dan Hamhuis? And I'm not saying Dan Hamhuis specifically, because
sure.
I actually think he struggled a little bit and he slowed down. Now that, he's got 10-plus years under his belt in
the
NHL.
He's got a year left on his contract,
right.
I believe.
But does a guy like Dan Hamhuis, I mean, I feel like they would be after a veteran defenseman, a guy that they can pluck into their top four if they need to, mm-hmm. if one of their guys gets injured. But I think it's going to be a guy like that, a veteran defenseman, Johnny Oduya.
Is
Washington after Johnny Oduya? Again, he's had some injury problems here, and he's a little bit older now in his mid-30s. So, but it's going to be a guy like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think that was – I would expect them to make a move like that because I think they aired last year in really standing pat, and it came back to bite them.
I think a guy like Michael Stone would have worked nicely in Washington.
I like Calgary being proactive in getting Michael Stone out of Arizona when they did. And, I mean, can't make a direct correlation, but since they've acquired Stone, they've won – what they won? Three in a row now? They went into Florida's road trip and swept it.
Another guys, Drew, are Colorado. Would they be interested in moving a Tyson Barrie or an Eric Johnson to Washington?
Well, Patrick Wierkoch is supposedly the defenseman from Colorado. That's
well, again, that's a guy that you're going to play on your third pair.
Yeah, a depth guy, but that's what we're talking about. I mean, it's interesting. The Blues, I think, when it comes to Shattenkirk, are in a bit of a difficult position. The era of trading, Phil Forsberg for Marty Erat, which is always the trade deadline trade I go back to as being one of the just worst trades of all time, and that was something the Capitals did. That kind of trade just doesn't happen anymore.
And Forsberg's got two hat tricks now.
And then Marty Erat isn't playing hockey.
Yeah,
as far
no,
as I know.
It's one of the worst trades ever.
Right.
I mean, you can put that up there with Solani for Chad Kilger and Oleg Tverdovsky, Drew.
Yeah.
But certainly Colorado is a seller. I mean, there's only a handful of teams that we know are sellers. Colorado's one, and Arizona's another. And, I mean, again, I don't know the severity of Matt Niskanen's injury, but Matt Niskanen is a top-pairing defenseman for them. So
it'll be fascinating. I think the Shattenkirk question is the most fascinating one as we approach the trade deadline on Wednesday, and it'll be very interesting, I think, to see where he lands. When we come back, Jonas Siegel of the Canadian Press joins us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Bottom of the hour here on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From the Canadian Press, he's their senior hockey writer. A good friend of ours, Jonas Siegel. Jonas, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem. How's it going, guys?
Doing very well, Jonas. How are you?
I'm great.
That's terrific. Jonas, we're in the midst of our NHL trade deadline preview show, so that's probably where we're going to focus a number of these questions. As we approach Wednesday and the trade deadline at 2 o'clock Central Time, are you anticipating it being a busy trade deadline, or do you think the upcoming expansion draft is sort of hovering over everything and might work to sort of reduce the market and reduce the number of trades that we see consummated before Wednesday?
Okay, well, I'm glad you asked me about the expansion draft because I'm working on a story for next week about the effect that is having. So it's kind of been in my brain. I talked to Brad Tree Living from the Flames the other day, and he said it is definitely having an effect. And what it's doing is it's just adding a layer to the process. And obviously the process of, you know, making a trade deadline acquisition always has all these different layers. It's, you know, what are you giving up? What are you getting back? What's the contract? And now you add on top of that, you know, what effect does it have in terms of the expansion draft, in terms of your player protection list? And so you have to think, and it's a little bit complicated, but you basically have to think when you make a trade for a player potentially who has a contract beyond this year, is that player worth, A, the package we're giving up for him, but also the player that we could potentially lose because now we can't protect both? And so that's kind of added a different wrinkle. And so what he expects, and I think we've seen this so far, is that it's just going to be a rental market. You're just going to see teams acquire players on expiring contracts less than the big trades that we've, you know, come to expect at certain points this time of year.
Now, Jonas, as Drew mentioned, we've been going division by division, team by team, and we started with the Central and the Pacific, and then we got up to the Metropolitan. And, you know, we know that Colorado and Arizona are going to be sellers. What team stands out to you where you don't really know if they're a buyer or seller or if they're going to do anything or maybe they swing a big move?
That's a good question. I was actually looking at that this morning, like wondering what team will go in which direction. One that came to mind was Vancouver. You know, Vancouver, I think, is one that we all look at and say they should be a team that's rebuilding. They should not be a team that's, you know, trying to add pieces. I don't think they would. But they should even be a team that potentially sells, whether that includes, you know, someone like Ryan Miller. We shall see. Who else came to mind? I looked at some teams at the bottom of the Eastern Conference that were really interesting to me. Like Tampa has gone to back-to-back Eastern Conference finals. We all expected loss from Tampa this year. It's not gone right for a variety of reasons, including injuries. What do they do? You know, I believe they have 62 points, which puts them, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 points out of a playoff spot. Not a lot of time left. Do they potentially move someone like Brian Boyle, or do they try to hang in and try to potentially get on a run? Because, you know, they've got Ben Bishop back now. They've had him for a few weeks. Maybe they can get hot. Maybe they can get in and then cause a little bit of noise if Steven Stamkos comes back for the playoffs. Same with a team like Buffalo. Like, what does Buffalo do? They're right in that same kind of bracket where they could potentially convince themselves that if they get hot, they can maybe get into the playoffs. But they could also look at their roster and say, you know what? We're not good enough at this point. Let's pull back. If we have assets to move that can fetch a price for our future, let's do it. So I think there's a few teams that are kind of in that mix between selling and buying. And if it's me, I'm always, you know, going to sell in that situation, because if I know my team's not good enough, I'm going to try to get assets to help the future.
Jonas, I'm going to get a little away from the trade talk and talk about the thing that everybody in Winnipeg and Toronto was talking about this last week was the Laine versus Matthews, and you wrote about it, talking about how it's going to be a rivalry for the ages. But do you think that, and a lot of people were talking about Crosby and Ovechkin, but do you think because they're one's in a Western division and the other one's in the Eastern Conference, sorry, that would really kind of curtail the rivalry, or do you think it'll be there regardless?
Well, I think it'll be there in those regular season games, but you're only going to get two a year.
Right.
So it kind of mutes the rivalry a little bit. Like with Crosby Ovechkin, and that got played out to death, but like at least they're facing each other a few times every year, and then potentially in the playoffs. And obviously you're not going to see that with Winnipeg and Toronto, but I think it's always going to be a conversation, especially the fact that it's two Canadian teams, like, and two Canadian teams with two really good players, and each, you know, fan base is going to look at their player and say, this guy's better. But maybe we just have to get past the fact of who's better and who's not and just look at the seasons they're having and realize they're both really good. Like, this doesn't ever happen where you have two teenagers come into the league and have this much success. Like, even, you know, Crosby and Ovechkin, I think Ovechkin was 20 in his rookie year, and Laine is putting up the same kind of numbers as Ovechkin did then. And that was an era where there were way more power plays, there were more goals, the goaltending wasn't as good as it is now. So you could even make the case, you know, that Laine is having a more impressive season than Ovechkin did. And that's crazy to comprehend, especially when you think of the fact, you know, that he's still 18 and basically the youngest player in the league.
Jonas Siegel, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Jonas is with the Canadian Press. He's their national hockey writer. Jonas, you know, Kevin Shattenkirk is probably the big ticket at the upcoming trade deadline, and there was talk that there was a trade that was, you know, pretty much agreed to, but it was contingent on him signing a long-term extension with the team that was going to acquire him. If you're Kevin Shattenkirk and you are, you know, 4 months away from unrestricted free agency where you can pick your destination, why would any team think that you would necessarily be in the market to signing away before you reach that free agency period?
It doesn't make sense to me. Like, would you? Would I? I wouldn't put myself in that situation. Like, if I had a chance to go to unrestricted free agency where we know teams have a history of overpaying, you know you're going to get your choice of where you want to go. I'm not sure why you would do it if you're Kevin Shattenkirk. And I think another interesting question with the conversation around him is, what should St. Louis do? Like, if they can get a package like has been talked about, which seems a big price tag for me, but you're St. Louis. You're a team that went to the Western Conference Final last year. You're still a really good team. You're still a team that could potentially threaten for a Stanley Cup. You're really going to have to be convinced, I would think, to trade Kevin Shattenkirk, one of your top four defensemen, the guy who, you know, runs your power play, one of the best power play defensemen in the NHL. You're going to really have to be swung that this is going to help you long-term big time. So I think it's an interesting conversation from their standpoint, too, just because if they do trade Kevin Shattenkirk, they're not as good, you know, and that changes their ability to potentially threaten for a cup this year. And, you know, maybe that's okay. Maybe they'll look and say, you know, the package we can get potentially for our future outweighs that. But I just think it's a really, you know, interesting angle from their perspective that they're going to have to think about.
You know, Jonas, you were just at Montreal Canadiens practice. The Habs and the Leafs play tonight at the Air Canada Centre. What does Marc Bergevin do now? He's made the coaching change. He's brought in Claude Julien for Michel Therrien. You've been basically a 500 team over the last 3 months. You're competing with the Ottawa Senators right now and the Toronto Maple Leafs, hoping to hang on to the Atlantic Division. Do you see him making a big move here?
I could see him making a move. I just don't know what a big move is. Like, is Martin Hanzel a big move? Is that enough to really jolt your team? Probably not. But maybe you're Marc Bergevin, you're under pressure to keep your job, and you feel like you've got to do something to try to spark your team. And obviously, Claude Julien is the first step in that. You hope that he can kind of get the team moving in the right direction. They've dropped 2 of 3 since he took over, but he's under pressure. Like, look at some of the moves that he's made. These are really big. You only have so many big cards to play as a GM. You know, he trades PK Subban. He fires the coach. Now I would feel like if he's looking at his group and how much they've struggled to score, then maybe he looks ahead of the deadline and says, I've got to find a way to add an offensive piece who can help us that way. I'm just not sure, even if they do make that move, that it's going to be enough to really jolt them back into the race. I just think they're going to have to play better. Carey Price hasn't been great. And I just never bought into them as the powerhouse that they looked like early in the season when the goaltending was exceptional. They were scoring a ton of goals. I think it's kind of a leveling off, and now they're probably not this bad, but they're probably also not as good as they were at the start of the year.
Jonas, is it possible that Thomas Vanek has to come back to Montreal and save their season?
But see, even that, like, that's a great example. And obviously Detroit's, you know, one of those teams that we've already seen is committing or seems to be committing to rebuilding. But does Thomas Vanek, like, put yourselves in their position? You can convince yourself that Thomas Vanek will help you, you know, that he'll come in, maybe he scores some goals. But is Thomas Vanek really going to be the difference toward you getting back on track and potentially challenging for a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think so. And that's really the challenge, I think, with trade deadline. Like, we all love it, but there's not really a lot of pieces that are actually big-time difference makers, especially this year with all the implications of the expansion draft.
Jonas, you wrote about how Brett Burns is chasing Bobby Orr and trying to eclipse his match his mark for most points by a defenseman. Do you think it's possible that he could, you know, shock some folks? And do you think he's not getting mentioned because he's out in the West and in San Jose, plays those late games, so he doesn't really get the regard that he should be for the season he's having?
Yeah, I think it swings both ways a little bit. I don't think he probably is getting the due that he has. Like, this never happens. There's only been one defenseman in NHL history who's won the scoring title, and that was Bobby Orr, and he did it twice. Brent Burns is right there. Like, he has a legitimate chance of becoming just the second defenseman ever to win a scoring title. He's putting up one of the best seasons offensively that we've ever seen from a defenseman. But the other thing that kind of works for him is he's not in a Canadian market like Toronto or Winnipeg or Ottawa. Like, look at Erik Karlsson last year. Erik Karlsson had 82 points in 82 games. Burns is on pace for a little bit more, but it's not a crazy difference. And yet, Erik Karlsson last year, it was almost like he got picked apart a little bit too much because, you know, people would say, well, he's not great defensively. He doesn't play the hardest minutes all the time. And I don't think we're having that conversation with Brent Burns like maybe we would if he played in the Canadian market. So it kind of works both ways, but I really think we need to understand just how historic the season he is, the season he's having is in the context of NHL history.
Jonas, we'll let you go on this last question. John Rosen of the LA Kings, or the LA Kings Insider, reports that Jonathan Quick might be activated off the IR in time for this afternoon's game against the Anaheim Ducks. So it's clear that if it happens today or if it happens early next week, Jonathan Quick is set to return to the Kings lineup. Do you think his presence is enough to get the Kings back into a playoff spot? They're currently 5 points behind the Predators, having played the same number of games, and 6 points behind the Flames with two games in hand.
Maybe. Like, I still watch LA, and they don't give up anything. They're still the same structured team that we've seen in the past. They don't score a lot, you know, so I could see them being the type of team, you know, that goes out at the deadline and tries to add a piece offensively. But the thing is, like, Peter Budaj has not played as well of late. But for most of the year, he's done a pretty good job of impersonating Jonathan Quick. Like, I ran the numbers a few weeks back, and he was actually having a better season statistically than Quick had last year. So I really think, you know, if they get Quick back, they'll be in a better position because Jonathan Quick is obviously a better goaltender than Peter Budaj. But I think if they can add a piece that helps them offensively, that could be something that kind of puts them over the top. We saw them do it, you know, a few years back with Marian Gaborik, maybe something like that, except again, you know, teams are going to be reluctant to add players that have more term on their contracts. But to me, they're still a team that gets in, and they're still a threat to win it all, you know, if they do get in at the end of the day.
Jonas, whoever gets Thomas Vanek is going to win the Stanley Cup.
Book it, right?
Yeah, but ask him if he's willing to put money where his mouth is.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is I don't have any money. So.
There you go. That's also the problem. Jonas Siegel. Sorry, go ahead, Jonas.
I was just going to say, we lacked the NBA trade deadline appeal where the big stars are moving, but
yeah.
I guess we'll have to look to Thomas Vanek to solve our dreams.
That still won't stop a continuous coverage around the clock as we discuss the future of Thomas Vanek and, you know, Alex Burrows and other guys like that. Jonas Siegel is the national hockey writer for the Canadian Press. Jonas, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, boys.
Talk to you soon. Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll look at the Atlantic Division, wrap up the program, get you set for Wednesday's trade deadline day. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. One final segment this Saturday morning here on TSN 1290.
Uptown Funk, Mandel's going to give it to you.
Did anybody need to hear that?
I did.
Moose and who? The San Antonio Rampage tonight,
Rampage,
Dave?
Yep.
Okay, 7 Back o'clock puck drop.
At 7 o'clock at the MTS Center, and then game, 2 o'clock tomorrow.
2 o'clock tomorrow, so games you can hear live, of course, on TSN 1290.
Mitch Peacock.
Mitch Peacock with the call. Dave Manuk. Have complete coverage on illegalcurve.com.
Rampage was a good rapper too.
I got nothing.
Flip mode squad.
I'm not a rap guy.
All right.
Okay. One final division as we go with our trade deadline preview. That is the Atlantic Division. Frank Saravelli, good friend of ours, senior hockey writer for TSN.ca, senior hockey reporter, reporting that the Florida Panthers are in the market for a winger as they approach this upcoming trade deadline. Only reason I mention that in particular is because Elliot Friedman, in his 30 Thoughts column this past week, said the Panthers were kicking the tires earlier in the season on Matthew Perreault of the Jets. And Perreault, we know how analytically bent the Florida Panthers organization is, and we know that Matthew Perreault is an analytic dream. Those who subscribe to analytics really like Matthew Perreault. So reading the tea leaves a little bit, wondering if there might be a possibility. Not going to say that it's definitely going to happen, but just something to keep in the back of your mind as the trade deadline approaches. Would the Panthers maybe be interested in acquiring a player like Matthew Perreault? I think his four-year contract scares away pretty much anybody from acquiring him, but you never know.
It has a lot to do with if the Winnipeg Jets want to trade him. We talked about that in the first hour, right, Drew? I mean, we just don't know if at the end of the day, when it comes close to the expansion draft, that the Jets are going to expose Matthew Perreault. It's certainly an option, and that's because the Jets have other young forwards that they need to protect, right? Adam Lowry is one of those guys. Joel Armia is one of those guys. Marco Dano, even though he's injured right now, he's coming back soon. I mean, do you want to expose a guy like Marco Dano over Matthew Perreault? Maybe you do. I have no idea. But when you're talking about the Florida Panthers right now, you know, it's unfortunate because they lost last night. But prior to that, they were on a big hot streak, a heater, Drew. So, I mean, the Florida Panthers are fighting tooth and nail for that last playoff spot with teams like the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Flyers have fallen off a little bit.
The Islanders right now occupy the second wild card spot in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
So the Panthers and Bruins are really fighting against the Islanders and the Leafs for that final playoff spot.
I mean, again, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, some of the guys who could be available. I mean, Thomas Vanek, Radim Verbata, these guys are veteran guys that can put the puck in the net, and they're having good years. So maybe, you know, the Florida Panthers want to kick the tires on one of those rentals. It's going to be someone like that, because the Florida Panthers got Jonathan Huberdeau back recently. He's been phenomenal. He's been a point-per-game player since he came back. I don't see them making a big move for a forward. I don't think Matt Duchene or Gabriel Landeskog is someone who they're going to go after, but it's probably going to be someone that can help them score.
I would agree with you there. The Buffalo Sabres in the Atlantic Division, an interesting team to watch approaching Wednesday. They have a couple defensemen who are pending UFAs. Cody Franzen, who's certainly a veteran defenseman. We know what Cody Franzen brings to the table. And Dmitry Kulikov. Kulikov's the guy they acquired in the offseason from the Florida Panthers. He's had an injury-riddled season, and it's been really an unmitigated disaster. But Kulikov's a guy, he's still got some talent there, and you wonder that if, you know, with him being pending UFA, if the Sabres might not be looking to deal him, and he could bring a little bit more to a playoff team than just your average rental depth defenseman, I think.
Yeah, and the Buffalo Sabres are 6 points behind the Leafs for the last playoff spot with the same amount of games played, so are they out of it? I mean, I don't necessarily know that they think they're out of it. And even though I agree, Drew, I mean, the Sabres, I don't think, even if they get in, are going to challenge with the Penguins or the Capitals or the Rangers or some of the elite teams to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. So, I mean, Cody Franzen and Dmitry Kulikov, we talked about the Washington Capitals. Maybe they want to pick up a defenseman. Those guys could be appealing. When you're talking about this division, I mean, it's so tough. Are you a buyer or a seller? I don't think you're either, really, if you're a team like the Florida Panthers or if you're a team like we talked about the Sabres or the Flyers. All of these teams are basically just sticking around long enough at this point in the season that they're still in the playoff race. So it's tough for me to say who would want a player like that, aside from, I think, a contender that really wants to shore up their bottom pair, right? Cody Franson and Dmitry Kulikov, those are guys that can probably play in your top two pairs, but at this point in the season, the elite teams have their top pairs already established.
Well, I think
it's injuries that come into play. That's why I keep mentioning the Washington Capitals, Matt Niskanen. We're not sure how severe that injury is. Mm-hmm. So
now you look in an ideal world. You know, for a lot of these guys, for the best teams, like you said, they already are pretty solid. So you acquire a guy, and maybe you never play him. Maybe, you know, your core stays healthy and keeps performing well, and you never necessarily need to play the guy. A guy like Kulikov, though, I think he's an interesting potential for a team that's looking for a little more defense. Evander Kane, the other guy who's rumored to maybe be on the block, he's got 1 year left on his deal. Playing well for the Sabres, I'd be surprised if they were to deal him right now, although his value has probably never been higher than it is right now since he's been a member of the Buffalo Sabres.
I know, just checked, and apparently the injury to Matt Niskanen is not serious.
Mm-hmm.
Brian McClellan of the Capitals said it is day-to-day, so he's not going to miss, you know, a week or two here. But certainly when you talk about these types of players, I don't think a team is ever going to pass up an opportunity to pick up a depth defenseman, because you can't have too many depth defensemen, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked about teams like the Sharks and the St. Louis Blues and teams that know they're going to the Western Conference playoffs, the LA Kings or another team, maybe a Cody Franzen or maybe a Dmitry Kulikov appeals to one of these teams, either in the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, if you have injuries and, you know, unexpected things happen, then you can plug one of these guys into a top pair role. So, you know, the Buffalo Sabres are an interesting team to watch, because I think they've surprised a lot of people. They've been a very tough team to play against. Evander Kane is someone who we should mention as well. Oh, sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
I know you weren't. I can see.
Kane is interesting to me because I don't think the list of teams that want Evander Kane is very long.
You know, the only thing I would counter, though, is he's playing some phenomenal hockey right now.
He's playing the best hockey.
I mean, and Drew,
hockey,
I think
you
just said made the point. You made the point that right now his value is extraordinarily high. I mean, I think that in terms of goals for, nobody's scoring right now at a pace like he is. Over the last little bit. So if you want a guy who's going to be a banger, a crasher, you know, he plays physical, and maybe you need that edge to, you know, kind of help you get over a hump, maybe add a little scoring, possibly you're a team that does it. Now, having said that, if you're the Buffalo Sabres and you trade away Evander Kane's 21 goals, who are you replacing that with?
I think a team like the LA Kings he would look good on.
Oh, look,
just throwing that out there. I think I feel like LA, you know, he would fit into what they're doing. He kind of replaces Lucic.
What about Montreal?
Well, Montreal. Yep. Look, any team that needs goal scoring would be...
I mean, you know, Montreal is a team that needs to score some goals.
Kane, you know what I would say, guys? I would say Evander Kane, you know, we've talked a lot about him, you know, especially after he was traded and leading up to that, but he could be the wild card here.
Do you think if the Sabres decide... I mean, if the Sabres trade him, though, I mean, he's got a year left on his contract.
Right.
The Sabres need to get a pretty big haul for him, I think, if they're going to...
Oh, yeah, he'd be... And, that's the whole point.
And then there's the expansion draft implications. Does a team want his contract next year, right?
Right.
As opposed to just being a rental?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. There'll be a lot to keep an eye on as Wednesday's NHL trade deadline approaches. This has been your NHL trade deadline preview show here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thank you to our guest, Jonas Siegel of the Canadian Press. We are joined by Marty Biron, TSN hockey analyst, Dave Isaac of the Camden Courier-Post, and Kevin Faulness, the Minnesota Wild radio host. In case you missed any of the show, it's available for download on iTunes and on our website, IllegalCurve.com. You can follow us on Twitter at IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website, as I mentioned, is IllegalCurve.com. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty in Keener, Jersey. Big props to producer Chris, doing a great job behind the board. For Dave Minuke, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.